Mid-Michigan's meeting place for the informed, the caring, and the curious, its current state. On WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. There are thousands of shipwrecks on the bottom of the five Great Lakes, but one ship in particular has always captured the attention of history buffs, and no, it's not the Edmund Fitzgerald, it's Le Griffon, the Griffin, a boat known as the Holy Grail of Great Lakes shipwrecks. Last month, two Muskegon-area men were the latest in a long line of divers to claim they found the ship's final resting place in northern Lake Michigan. Experts are not convinced it's the real thing. Here to talk to us about the story behind this elusive ship and to tell us about what goes into authenticating a Great Lake shipwreck, Dean Anderson is in our studio. Dean is the state archaeologist for Michigan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also joining us on the phone from Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary, underwater archaeologist with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Wayne Lusardi. Welcome to Current State, Wayne.
Good morning. Thank you.
Dean, let's start with the story of the Griffin. Whose ship was this, and how did it go down?
This was a vessel that was operated by the French explorer and fur trader La Salle. He built the Griffin here in North America, out in what's now New York, along the Niagara River above the above Niagara Falls. And La Salle was a fur trader and was interested in trading with native people out in the Western Great Lakes region in particular. And the Griffin was built in the summer of 1679. And sailed from that location out through the Great Lakes and into the Green Bay area during that time. La Salle traded with people out there, with the native people, got himself a cargo of furs in trade and loaded the Griffin with those furs, and then did not accompany the Griffin back east. He stayed out in the western country and sent the vessel with a small crew back east. So the Griffin left the Green Bay area mid-September 1679, and pretty much that was the last we know of it. The Griffin vanished, and we don't know where it wrecked, how it wrecked, what became of it. But that's the story behind the wreck, and many people have been looking for it ever since.
Wayne Lusardi, what's the likelihood, in your view, that the wreck the two divers from Muskegon found could actually be the Griffin?
I didn't see, looking at the photographs that they provided me, any evidence that it's a colonial vessel. And in fact, there are a lot of features and artifacts that were exhibited in the photographs that appear to be 19th century materials.
Oh, my. How often do you have people come to you claiming to have found the Griffin?
I think there's a serious Griffin claim about every couple or 3 years, with some sort of minor ones in between. I've worked for the state of Michigan's Department of Natural Resources up here at Thunder Bay for 12 years, and there have been about a half a dozen serious claims of discovery, none of which came to fruition.
That's a couple hundred-year difference between what the divers would claim that they found and what you think they have found. What accounts for that discrepancy? Is that just a burning desire to actually find the Griffin?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. You know, when you get divers that do discover shipwrecks, the first thing that comes to their mind is, hey, what if this is really something important like the Griffin? Sometimes it's very obviously not, and then other times it takes a little bit more investigation by professionals to either support or disclaim that.
Dean, why do you think this particular ship holds such a fascination for Great Lakes shipwreck hunters?
Well, the Griffin is commonly referred to as the Holy Grail of wrecks in the Great Lakes. It was the first European sailing ship, at least out in the western part of the Great Lakes. So that fact is what is so, I think, so particularly compelling about it. Anybody who's interested in maritime history in the Great Lakes, who's interested in shipwrecks, everybody knows the Griffin. Everybody knows that it's sort of the target. And as Wayne says, when people find wrecks, if it's a wooden wreck, if it's a relatively small boat, it has some characteristics that could suggest that it could be early. the Griffin is certainly what comes to mind for people. That's what people hope for and are thinking about. And it's the earliness of the wreck, and it's the European origin and the earliest European vessel idea. Those are all the things that, that make this such an interesting wreck.
Our guest on Current State, Dean Anderson, state archaeologist for Michigan, also on the phone today. Underwater archaeologist Wayne Lusardi with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We're talking about the possibility that the Griffin has been discovered by a couple of divers from Muskegon up in northern Lake Michigan. Wayne, what talk to us about a typical dive for you. What tell us a little bit about that. What does it look like?
You know, generally when I first visit a wreck site, I want to get a few bits of information from it, and you can get that, you can collect it very rapidly. One is the type of vessel that it is. Is there evidence that it's a sailing boat or a steam-powered vessel, for example? The overall dimensions are very important in contributing to the identification of the vessel. What it was carrying, cargo and artifacts, can tell you sometimes where it was going, where it was coming from, the age of the vessel, that sort of thing. And then the condition of the wreck site, whether it was burned or if there are holes in it that suggest a collision or if it's stranded on rocks, that sort of thing. Location information is very important. I maintained databases for shipwrecks around Michigan that have and have not yet been found. And so when a vessel is newly discovered in a particular area, I can go to that database and kind of sort of suss out the possibilities of what vessel that might have been.
Dean Anderson, you were telling me that the cargo, which Wayne Lusardi just mentioned, cargo is a concern for you in verifying the wreckage found by the two Muskegon divers to be the Griffin. Talk to us about that.
What was on board of any given vessel is certainly a big part of clues to what a vessel, the identity of a vessel, what vessel it might be, and what it dates to. The cargo with the Griffin, as far as we know, was primarily furs, but the vessel would have had a whole range of other kinds of things on it in terms of the everyday materials that the men used on the vessel, just in terms of life and having to travel on that vessel over the course of many weeks, so that you would expect all kinds of essentially household items on a wreck. You'd also expect to see all the kinds of tools and so forth that would have been used to operate the vessel. So the cargo, in the case of a vessel like that, might not be so important because it's a perishable cargo. You may not find any sign of that, but the other kinds of materials that would have been on board could certainly give you clues to the wreck. Another vessel that LaSalle operated, the Bell, that went down in the Gulf of Mexico, that vessel was excavated. They discovered that vessel, conducted an archaeological excavation, and found well over a million artifacts associated with that vessel.
Was in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes. LaSalle at that point was looking for the mouth of the Mississippi and wanted to establish a colony in the southern part of the North American holdings of European countries at that time. And
I so closely associate him with the Great Lakes, I had lost track of the fact, if I ever knew at all, that he was ever in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
How about that?
He certainly covered a lot of ground, so he was out, as I say, in the Western Great Lakes and the Gulf as well.
You two are both skeptical here. Have you engaged in any contact with the two Muskegon divers? And if so, how have the Muskegon divers responded to your skepticism? Wayne?
Well, they've been working with us very closely. They first presented this wreck several years ago, provided images of it and kind of descriptions. I think that they're very hopeful that it's the Griffin, but they have not yet provided any concrete evidence of that fact. We hope to meet with them again soon and possibly go out and visit the wreck site this summer.
Dean, if someone finds a shipwreck, who does it belong to?
Generally speaking, the wreck would belong to the state of Michigan. There could be circumstances in which that may not be the case, but under state law, wrecks and artifacts on the Great Lakes bottomlands, which are state land, state property, belong to the state of Michigan. So that would be the starting point. There can always be exceptions to that in Michigan. If it's abandoned property, for example, in the Great Lakes bottomlands, that belongs to the state of Michigan, if there could be a compelling case made that it was not abandoned property, and this happens from time to time, it could potentially be demonstrated that it might fall under ownership of someone else. But generally speaking, it belongs to the state.
Wayne, how did you become an underwater archaeologist? What drew you to that career?
You know, I've always, since the beginning of my career right out of high school, I started in archaeology in general in the Midwest. And I was a diver at the time, and it just sort of was a natural progression to put the diving and archaeology together. I've always been fascinated with history. I have a grandfather that's Caribbean that has always, you know, I grew up listening to stories of pirates and shipwrecks and other sorts of things. So really, I think it was just always in my psyche to go after it, yeah.
Is there a Great Lakes shipwreck that really captures your imagination that you've remained fascinated with over the years?
You know, typically, whatever I'm working on, I become very fascinated with it. I become very intimate. I've dived on hundreds of wrecks in the Great Lakes and around the world, and whatever I seem to be working on at that particular time captures my fascination because I become more and more intimate with it. And all of these wrecks are, there are many that are very similar, but they all have their sort of little differences and idiosyncrasies.
I'm sure. Really,
yeah, it's interesting to see the material culture and to see the construction details of shipwrecks and how they differed and why people did certain things on them, and just to learn about them and to really investigate them and to learn as much as possible. And so I sort of always become fascinated with whatever I'm working on.
How many, we're just about out of time, but quickly, Wayne, how many shipwrecks predate the Griffin that you know of? This was 1679. Are there a lot from prior to 1679 in the Great Lakes?
Well, no, not in the Great Lakes. And certainly the Griffin is the oldest of the European style vessels that are lost in the upper Great Lakes. And, you know, there are Native American craft or canoes and dugouts and that sort of thing that are all over the inland waterways. But this is certainly the oldest of the European wrecks that is known to have wrecked in the lakes.
A great conversation. Very interesting. We'll try to keep an eye on this. Underwater archaeologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We want to thank Wayne Lusardi on the phone from the Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary. Also, the archaeologist for the state of Michigan, Dean Anderson, joins us here today in Studio S. Many thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.